Hello and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where two gay guys talk about all sorts of geeky stuff. Sometimes our knowledge is out of this world. Other times our knowledge of subjects is a little bit
incomplete.
Yes, it is. Thank you for listening. This is a continuation of the previous episode where...
Who are we?
Where co-host John, that's me, and co-host Nick over there... Are they going to say hi or something?
What was your bit? Why is your joke?
I don't know how it's going to fit in now. Thank you for listening to this podcast, where if we have to listen to another one of Chakotay's spirit ancestral stories, at least make it a wet dream. That's all I ask.
Okay. The spirits told me in a dream it may as well be a wet dream. Not if it's Chakotay, though. I don't want it.
I mean, wouldn't you?
No.
He's so sexy, though, and like, juicy.
Oh, he's not juicy. Not my juices.
He's a heartthrob.
Not my juices. Welcome back!
Not my juices. Can't have these juices.
Welcome back to our continuing exploration of the gay geek arenas of Star Trek Voyager. So, if you were lovely enough and tuned into our previous episode, we gushed about the first three seasons of the show that I've just rewatched so far. And our thoughts, feelings about that. And we thought it'd be a nice way to kind of cap off that recap. Oh, wait, there's too many caps.
Cap off the recap?
Bookend that whatever. Cap off that experience by doing a rewatch of the season three finale, Scorpion. I think it's the most beloved episode.
A Star Trek episode, really.
Of Voyager?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the most beloved episode. It's fucking brilliant. I remember watching it on VHS and the first opening scene coming on.
Yeah.
Me and my brother watching it and losing our minds. Yeah.
We'll get there. And you're going to rewatch. Just if you haven't listened to the last episode, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, thanks for listening.
What are you doing, guys? Come on.
Just for a bit of context, you are currently rewatching the entire show.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to have watched every single episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Because when you were younger, you didn't watch every
episode. No, I missed a lot because they weren't on TV when I watched it.
So you're rewatching it all. You've come up to right now. You still haven't watched Scorpion yet. So we're going to do this now. You've not seen this for a long time.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, have started watching Voyager a number of years ago. Like maybe early pandemic, pre-pandemic, maybe. I don't remember exactly. I'm midway through season five, so I have seen this, but more recently than Nick. And we're rewatching it together. We're going to give you, dear listener, the clips of where we're going to pause it and we'll talk about what we've just seen just to keep you on board.
Yeah, we're not going to do like a scene-by-scene breakdown that a lot of rewatches do because we don't have the attention span for that. So if you haven't watched it and it's part of your rewatch, even if it's not, go and watch it. Go and watch part one, part two, and then come back and listen to us.
Yeah.
Save it, but download it. This episode and then come back because we'll probably miss stuff. We're gonna miss stuff because we're gonna get excited actually watching it.
And we're not gonna stop every single scene, we're just gonna talk about things that we are noticing from rewatching. And if you like this format, please let us know. Get in touch at incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you like, and if you have any ideas for future episodes. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Scorpio before we actually start it?
No, it's just because I remember, it was a random VHS, you know, throughout the series. So we knew kind of a few episodes that had happened. And obviously we'd seen.
Yeah.
So by this point, I definitely seen First Contact, right? Like that film would have been out.
I don't know. Should I look it up?
Yeah. Because we definitely, we would have seen the infamous Locutus. What is it?
I forget what the episode was called, but like...
That is obviously the highest rated ever, which is a really good episode, but man, the production value does not hold up if you watch it these days.
Yeah.
John Luke in his pants, not a great finale.
But also because like that was a significant change to a main character. People loved that one.
It brilliant. And then the film. So obviously I feel like we'd seen First Contact by the time this episode came out. So Star Trek fans were very familiar with the threat, the looming threat of the Borg.
Of the Borg, yeah.
So, and it's also, having rewatched it, they're like 3-4 episodes ago. Oh no, they'd mentioned the Borg a couple of times already. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Chakotay had come across, was saved by a group of ex-Borg on a planet. They didn't want to go home. They were ex-Borg. They were severed from the collective. And they wanted to make their own collective. And at the end, they tricked Voyager and they eventually made their own collective. And they were like, ooh, is this going to be a problem? It never turned out to be because whatever. Mm-hmm. And they did a really cool thing at the end of a random episode. Chakotay said, come and look at this. And there was a dead drone, Borg drone, just on the thing on the planet. So they kind of just...
Mentioned.
Mentioned because we know, you know, good Star Trek fans know that they came from the Delta Quadrant. Look, Q brought them from the Delta Quadrant and introduced them. So
yeah,
proper Star Trek fans know that. So they have slightly teased it, but that's also a massive, massive bad guy in a massive franchise, especially if they'd done the film at this point. You're still looking up the date.
I'm waiting for you to stop talking.
I'm vamping until you tell me the date.
So yeah, so that was, so the Borgers have been introduced in...
No, when was First Contact?
First Contact was 1996.
Okay.
And this episode of Scorpion was released in May of 1997, was part one.
Pretty damn close. So,
and then this part two wasn't until September.
Of course.
So it was season one. Season four.
Episode one. So yeah, so we'd seen First Contact. So yes.
If you watched it right away, yeah.
All of us knew that this really big, shitty bad guy was there. And it was just kind of looming over the heads that we've done 3 years of this show and we haven't really dealt with the Borg.
Mm-hmm. Even and though now, we're from this quadrant.
Yeah, yeah, and we know, and we've kind of, yeah, because they've teased it, and we also know that. So it's such a geek release with this first opening scene.
Yeah.
Shall we go?
I forget what the opening scene is, but...
Oh!
So we're starting now.
Wait, I need to make sure, because I, like, saw 2 seconds of it. Wait, don't look down. Because I think I've got, like, 2 seconds of it.
No, it looks like it's fine.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I forgot that Leonardo da Vinci was in it.
I know. It's, what's his face? The dwarf.
John Rhys Davies.
Sure. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, wait. Does the button work?
Yeah.
Fucking gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Preteen Nick. Watching that when we're like, finally the Borg, and they say the classic line, resistance is futile, and then energy bolts fucking blitz.
They're like,
two cubes. It's like, fuck you, you mean nothing.
Here's my resistance, bitch.
I remember the slack open jawed shock of that reveal.
Yeah.
Fucking excellent.
It's really good because a Borg is such a threatening concept. Where it's like, they cannot be stopped. They did that really, really well in Next Generation. And then this.
And the films, yeah.
And the films. Oh, yeah, of course, the films.
Next Gen films, yeah.
And just have that sort of knowledge and know that it was done well. And this is, like, just like you were saying, the pure image of the Borg cubes just will strike fear into these viewers.
Terrifying.
And then they're taken. So those
and are, then completely taken out.
Those You're are like, faint words.
What the fuck? Mm. So, yeah. Let's carry on. Yeah. That was the first 3 seconds. I'm going to skip the intro, though.
That's fine. Skip it.
Ba-boom, ba-boom.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Ba-ba-ba. Note, at this stage, Janeway has partial bun, slight ponytail. So they're clearly trying to soften her a little bit. Or as you get more used to her, she's less standoffish.
So she was strict ponytail up at this point in the previous episodes. Was it all ponytail or what?
Bun,
sorry.
But the majority of it was bun, and they've started before this kind of introducing that, oh, bun, but slight ponytail as well.
Has there been any other kind of hairstyle up to this point?
Well, they had the accidental bob that was a continuity error, but just that, which will be her normal, I think, pretty soon in season four. But anyway, that's just a Janeway
fact. Yeah, okay.
I'm a hawk instead.
I feel like Kate Mulgrew is very much a stage actress. You could tell she loves the dramatic pause, and she's like aching to do more of that kind of stuff. And a chance
classically trained.
Plus hanging out with John. Like, you want to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Stagey stuff. Good on you, Kay. For reference, when we say John and what's his name? Jonathan?
John Rhys-Davies.
It's because Janeway's in a holodeck program where she's making friends with Leonardo da Vinci. It is a thing in both episodes. It's really important for her, but it also, she carries it on for a few more episodes after that. So if you haven't seen it, that's what we're talking about.
He's a recurring character, yeah.
Leonardo da Vinci bit. But she's just about to be pulled onto the bridge because Chakotay wants her on the bridge. Computer and program. God, I want a holiday. What have you got? I would instantly use it for porn.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly. Sorry.
Okay.
Choking on my chicken nugget.
So we're in the briefing room.
Conference room? Briefing room? Yeah.
They've seen an image of the Borg, which I'm not clear how they got it, but what was it?
They had a probe out and they got the last few minutes of telemetry and probe. It was captured.
Okay.
So a Borg cube and a Borg, like, taking it apart. And I love the fact that it's like, we're no doubt entering their territory.
Borg space, yeah.
It's setting the premise, like, we all knew the Borg was going to be a thing. Like, the whole of Voyager crew knew they were going to eventually encounter this. Thousands of solar systems, all Borg. There is no way around it. It's enormous, but there may be a way through it.
Okay.
Let's find out what that is.
Oh, okay. I thought we had a commentary.
I don't have a commentary. He hasn't said it yet.
It picked up a narrow corridor of space devoid of Borg activity. We've nicknamed it the Northwest Passage.
Is that an American thing?
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
What's the Northwest Passage?
The Northwest Passage is such an American thing. It's about the settlers coming from Europe. So Chakotay mentions this Northwest Passage, which is like
the Northwest space. Passage is the bit that they're calling, the bit that the Borg space they think is free from Borg activity.
I don't remember the exact details, but it has to do with settlers from, like, mostly France, I suppose, coming up the St. Lawrence River to come into America and settle it. It was like a safe space because it was between tribes, I suppose.
Local Indian people.
Them Indian people, yeah. Or was it like the name of the actual sort of network of trading? I'm not sure exactly, but it's definitely a reference to American, specifically United States of American history.
That public high school education is working out real well for you.
It was such a, yeah. What can I say? I remember all of my history classes so well.
So Americanized. Look, like, here's this bit from old American history.
I could look it up, but I don't have the time.
All of them go along with it because they're all from North America.
Even the English was like, yeah,
Northwest Passage. Yeah,
I got one of those.
American history. Yeah, great.
Anyway.
It's very human focused. She's only half.
What, B'Elanna?
Yeah. Everyone's superhuman.
I'm sure that, like, American history isn't going to be a course they take at the academy when they're learning about space.
Ugh, fuck that. Messages filled with intense gravimetric.
Let's do it.
I would not be confident that Voyager can take on the Borg. Like, no. Good motivation. Jamie gave a good motivational speech, but no.
Yeah, so we've just seen the end of that scene where it was like Janeway gives a pep talk. What's the like a motivational speech where it's like, I have confidence.
We can beat them.
Like, spaceship?
I don't.
Against Borg cubes? No.
Their whole space? Like, that's delusion, but I appreciate your candor.
Especially because she's like, when and if we encounter the Borg. So they're, you know.
Like, you know it's happening.
It's like a suicide mission almost.
It pretty much is, but they have no choice and it's kind of like, whatever.
What do you think people's, like, mindsets are? Like, right now they're just gonna be like, okay, we'll be fine. I'm sure we'll be fine because Captain's got a plan. I don't know. I'd be freaking out.
She has to be like, yeah. We'll be fine. Yeah. It's fine.
I'm not convinced. Sorry. Fine. Sorry, Captain.
These injection tubules are the first step in the Borg assembly.
So that must be the corpse that they found on that random planet that I just mentioned.
Yeah, so he did actually say in the previous scene, I've investigated the corpse.
That you found. It was a real, because they don't reference it in the next episode. They find this corpse and it's like, but then nothing happens until this episode. So it's a lot of edging going on here.
A lot of edging. So I like this actually, because we've just seen a montage of people being prepared. So it does sort of set up the stakes.
I like, yeah, it's very much like, it very much feels like the audience, like, we know this is a big threat. We're ready for it. We're not taken by surprise by it. We know this is the big bad of the series finale. It's kind of like,
yeah,
they're written on it as well.
And I suppose if it's a series finale as well, it's like there's always a wonder, like, if it's going to come back for another series kind of thing. Like, they can't always predict that, especially in America, where they don't know if they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Different than nowadays, obviously. But Who knows? So now we see the Doctor looking at the tubules, which isn't really explored in, like, Next Generation, how they actually assimilate anyway, so it's...
No! Again, I get confused about if they talk about that in First Contact, Next Gen, or this, because I watched them so close.
Yeah.
And so repeatedly. But, you know, the nano thingamashit. Yeah. He's very much a Voyager. Anyway,
it works.
Let's find out what they say about it. Works. He's probably going to talk about that now. How do I press play?
Relation process. Once inside the skin, they release a series of nanoprobes.
There you go, nanoprobes.
Maybe we can develop some type of protective shielding against them.
Let's try a submicron dissection on the...
I wonder if she would have known that she's being canned at this point, right? Maybe?
So we're in the...
Kes, sorry, we're talking about Kes.
We're in the doctor's office. We're looking over the corpse of the Borg, and we've got Kes here, whom I forgot was actually training to be a medical
assistant. It's her entire arc. Like, yeah. The whole point of, she's always just in sick bay, learning to be a nurse, doctor, a person. Sorry.
Hashtag forgettable character.
She really is. It's fine. And they only recently, when they did her journey through time thing, gave her a longer wig rather than that shitty pixie cut. So now she's got her longer wig and a blue, less stupid, more Deanna Troi outfit.
Yeah, the blue means medical, doesn't it?
Blue does, but it's also a dress. She's not graduated, so she can't wear a uniform.
Right.
But yeah, at this point, Jennifer Leigh must have probably known that her contract's not being renewed.
I don't know, because if they released in May, then they would have filmed it like two months before.
That's true.
So maybe
part two she would have, obviously.
Yeah.
But at this point, maybe not. And again, I remember, like, I love, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Love a Girl with Psychic Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Having watched this and not a lot of 1, 2, and 3, I thought she had psychic powers throughout. No. She doesn't use her powers hardly at all. No. Like, the 4 episodes that she gets with any kind of attention.
And usually, again, it's because it happens to her. She's someone not else actively is trying in, to...
But even this is probably the case because it's 8472. We'll get onto that. Sorry. So yeah. Kes is looking at it. She's about to do some psychic shit, which I love. Let's go.
Once we've collected so far, see if we can discover the assimilation mechanism.
Okay, so this makes me laugh, actually. We've just seen Kes's telepathic experience, which is a big deal to the Doctor, because it's like...
Well, to be fair, she doesn't have them all the time.
She doesn't have them all the time, but, like, obviously, like, telepathy nowadays is like, telepathy, it's such a common thing. But I love this because I'm just thinking about how they must have filmed it. It's like, okay, we're going to slowly zoom in on your character. There's no music when you film as well. There's no flash cut away. She starts to, like, look in the distance and be like, very blank face. And the Doctor is like, what did you see? And she's like, I just saw bodies. Like, you've got to have some acting chops.
You got to act, babes.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Turbulence is increasing. I'm reading 2 Borg vessels. Make that 3. 4. No, 5. 15 Borg vessels.
Okay. So we've just seen the scene, our first encounter with the Borg. I think it's done really well.
It's so good.
Because Janeway's like right in the middle of something, some nonchalant thing, and suddenly, boom! It's like, I'm picking up a signal, boom, and everything's in red alert. We're doing this. It's all very, very high stakes, done really well. Emergency. And then you see 15 end up,
15 fucking Borg.
The way
cubes.
It grows from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 15. It's like everyone's keeping it cool, but you know that under the surface.
There's
like,
no hope. There was no fucking chance that if the Borg cubes were there for them, 15.
Yeah.
Gone. Resistance immediately. Truly futile. But they weren't. They fucking flew past them. The last one gave them a quick scan. She made a Twilight Zone reference, and they fucked off because they.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, I think so. It's Twilight the Zone? Kid. The kid that can read thoughts and kills you if you don't like happy thoughts.
Oh, okay. Remember that?
No.
It's referenced so many times in pop culture. I assume that's what it is. And then they fly off. Either they're running away from them or they're running to a fight that's already happening.
Yeah.
With this unseen enemy, which obviously we know who they are, but you know.
Yeah.
So we've got... It's smart.
It's great. We've got high stakes and now we've got intrigue and mystery.
And we get straight to it. And I love that. We know the Borg and they know we know the Borg. It's like, we're not setting this up. Like, let's go. Shit.
Yeah.
We're ready for the Borg. We're scared of the Borg. Oh shit, there's something bigger. We're straight into it. We're 11:31 in, and it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yep.
Let's go!
Did we sustain any damage?
No. Shields held.
I'll get my ready room.
Fuck off, Chakotay. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to go hang out with her. It's like, oh, don't talk to me. I'm going to my ready room. Love it.
And we'll make the right decision. You're not alone, Catherine.
Bullshit. So
I was waiting for this.
Well, it's a great scene, and it's again. I'm not a actory, writery person. Like, it's such a great way of setting up the stakes.
Yeah,
you know, we've talked. Like,
we're in Janeway's ready room.
Janeway's ready room. She's going through the records of the previous captains. She's read them out, and it's such a great way of identifying and recognizing. Like, we all know, and then she's like saying, "We knew this day was coming. It's inevitable. We've all tried to prepare for it." The only other option is retreating and just staying in the Delta Quadrant. So it's the core mission of the whole show, of the whole ship, is we have to fucking power through, but we all knew this day was coming. And I love the banter between them, the way he makes fun of her for doing not really any good impressions.
No.
Like, she could have, I feel like she could have done a much better Picard, an impression of the captains as she's reading the logs. It adds a little levity, and it's trying to grow the fact that they have this personal connection and that he is there to support her. And he's like, we'll face this together. As we see in part two, which if we get to, I don't know if we'll have time to. Bullshit! You are full of shit, Chakotay. In my opinion.
Okay. We don't, because he says I'll be there with you.
We'll make this decision together. Yeah. We'll face it together. Whatever.
I don't remember what happened. Anyway, we'll get there. One thing else thing I like about this particular scene is because she's mentioning like all the ever since Q flung the Enterprise, da-da-da. These are all references to other moments in this universe, which fanboys
nerds love this
back in the 90s we're like, oh my god, ooh, it's, you know, it kind of makes it canon. Like, every time we talk about the MCU doing that, it's it's fun, but now we're past it with MCU kind of thing.
It's such a, that would have been such a novel thing, and we you know remember the name Wolf 359 if you'd watched that episode with the Borg. That's when they just completely fucking eradicated every ship, one cube or whatever it was, just destroyed all this stuff, and it's a huge part of Star Trek lore. But back then, we didn't have the internet, so you just had to have watched that and remember it.
Yeah. And then if you didn't remember what it was, you'd go ask your friends who, you know, watched Star Trek as well. Like, what's 359? Ooh, tell me about this. Or what did you think about it? And then that's how you share the experience of watching this TV show.
Yeah.
Which we don't do nowadays.
The best part about Star Trek is it was the long before the MCU. Okay, we had comic books, so, you know, we still win. Is this shared history, canon, universe, that sort of stuff. I love a reference. I love it, that sort of stuff. So you don't get to do it a lot with Voyager, because obviously they're not the same species and that sort of thing, but a Borg is obviously a unifying thing.
Same species.
Yeah. What is it?
You said species.
Like, they don't, like, they don't, they're not fighting Kardashians and Romulans and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like,
all
the others are. So they have different ones.
Different,
but
quadrant, et cetera.
Borg, they've already fought.
That's unifying,
It's a nice thing.
Good.
Set a course for the opposition. Warp 2.
Let's head straight for whatever this is.
I mean, if they don't, they're fucked. So. Oh, Harry, I forgot.
One is of unknown origin. Who could do this to the Borg?
What did you say?
I forgot about Harry's thing. We'll get to it. It comes up now.
Okay, where?
Now would have been a time to stop.
Harry, go with me.
Bridge officers, three most senior staff member. Let's go into dangerous territory.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that, but it's fine.
So we come across the Borg debris that we found a biomass on the side of one of them.
A bioship. I think they're fairly...
Do they say it's a ship? They say it's bio...
No, you're right. It's a biomass. I feel like it's very obvious it's a ship, but okay.
I don't think so, because I think that... We'll get... It could be like a creature. exists in space. Yeah. That's what I remember anyway. So Janeway's told Chakotay to send an away team to get a try to close up reading, etc.
Something more powerful than the Borg. That's my worst Janeway impression, but that's all I can do. I can't make it nasally enough.
I want to know what... What is he saying? I want to know what can take down the Borg. I can't do it.
She does on the breathy stuff, doesn't she? It's very close. It's very like...
They can hear you.
Exactly, that's... She does a lot of that kind of like breathing. That kind of acting, which I love. It's very like... Anyway, yes, off we go.
It's the vision that Kes saw.
It's not the word I had in mind. Those bodies are reminiscent. One of the premonitions Kes described.
How did he know that?
Described.
Fine.
Plus, he's the psychic coach of Kes, he would have been the first person she'd go to.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's so creepy. I love it. Fuck you, Borg.
Why would they have been like that?
That's maybe some sort of... And they just kind of merged. I don't know. They never really talk about that.
It
just looks fucking
weird.
It's like
the prop problem. Like, it's a weird thing about like a conglomeration of the Borg. We don't know how it's going to work, but we'll just...
They probably had one from an old Indiana Jones movie and they just made it Borg or something.
Made it Borg, yeah.
We think it might be a ship of some kind. Permission to go inside.
Oh, sure. Off you
go. I don't give a shit. I mean...
Go ahead.
See if you can download their tactical database. It might contain a record of what happened here.
Download it? From what? A brain... Oh, from the Borg. Oh, sorry. Yeah, not from the...
This looks like a binary matrix, but it's laced with neural peptides.
I love the, flashing lights. Again, prop team.
neurons, lights, blinky lights. Kim is hot. Young Kim would definitely fuck.
Yeah, I can see it.
Better than Paris.
They should have switched roles, do you think?
Better than Chakotay.
What if Garrett Wang played the bad boy who had to be rescued, whatever, or not rescued?
Bad boy Asian rather than studious math Asian.
Studious math. Oh, Asian, yeah. I think you're comparing Tom Paris as studious math.
No.
The wall appears to be regenerating itself.
And then they fly away inside the ship.
Dongs. Psychic flash!
Oh my god, I hate the trope of dropping things when you get a psychic flash. And yet, that's her saving.
It's Harry. Always a chick with psychic powers. Why is it never a dude with psychic powers?
And when you do get a psychic powers, you use it to be a slut. Wasn't there
word?
Yeah, true. They got that right.
They got that right.
Isn't there a Bajoran? Not a Bajoran. In Next Generation, where it's a male and he's actually a fraud or something like that. That's because men don't use psychic powers for good.
Rapey.
It's rapey, yeah.
Well, no, all betazoids are telepathic, so males are telepathic.
They're all rapey.
No, they're all sexual. I'm gonna try a skeletal lock. What? I think I can get a claim on. Has Harry been hit?
No.
I just came up with it,
but I think it might work.
Good job, Bilana. Bilana's safe today.
Okay.
Right.
So we've just seen our first encounter with species
8472. Which looks a lot like Predatory, kind of. It's or aliens.
Ripley. Yeah, the alien, yeah. We're on the Borg ship, and we found the little species 8472 ship we've been investigating.
Some dramatic tension build up. They don't know what's going on. Some dead Borg, some confused Borg, that sort of stuff.
Kes gets a flashback, so they get him out of there.
Get him out of there!
But not before the life form blasts through, hits Harry in some way. What I like about species 8472 is that it's not a fucking humanoid species.
Yeah, it's very... CGI budget. They obviously saved for these two episodes.
Yeah. It's not a terrible CGI, like Macrocosm, but...
No, but it is a CGI non-human... Like, non-humanoid. Not a guy with some plasticine on his forehead.
Exactly. My biggest gripe, which is not a big, really gripe at all, but the biggest sort of thing about Star Trek, and even
it's yeah, it's
the Orville does it as well.
Yeah,
it's just a human with fucking prosthetics. Of course,
they always they have to. I get it, but
so
yes,
so it's yeah,
super alien. They don't talk. There's no communicate. Even Borg, they speak English.
Yeah, exactly.
A472 never do. They don't talk. They don't hear anything.
And the thing is, like, if humans in the real world ever do encounter extraterrestrials, there's no guarantee they're going to be like two legs, two arms, and two eyes, whatever.
We can't even fathom what.
We can't find
life. It's gonna be like
with a realm of infinite possibilities. Like how? Like I'm really relieved that there are aliens who are not humanoid. Unfortunately, it's a CGI thing. It's a budget thing. You know, I like it when it happens.
But also, that's Star Trek. Star Trek is that soft is Star Trek. Sci-fi.
And at least they do have a reason for it because they recognize that it happened. That it's a lot of humanoids. It's an episode of like Star Trek where like they find like ancestors. Like, oh yes, we seeded this galaxy with our. So they're all remember that? They're all based on what we look like, whatever.
It feels awfully Christian.
Very godlike, yeah. Just for sure.
I don't like
in
that.
Our, made it in our image. But it's
I don't like that.
It was like the Romulans, the Klingons, and the humans all looking for some signal that was meant to be like treasure or whatever, and ended up being like a message from the previous civilization, whatever.
Whatever. Let's get back to this.
Anyway, there's a reason in Star Trek that it happens, but I still love seeing non-human species.
Yeah, yeah. It also makes it feel, whether it's because it's similar to Alien or whatever, or the CGI budget, it really does make it feel like this finale is like, it's a big deal. This episode is a big deal. They've obviously spent money on it. They've designed this character as being weird and fucking scary. So scary that it can take out the Borg, which is...
The biggest threat.
The biggest, best bad guy that Star Trek ever created. Mm-hmm. Possibly too good of a bad guy, because who cares about all the other bad guys? I just want the Borg.
Yeah, I can see
like
that.
Everything with Picard, you didn't watch it, but like I don't care about the bad guys, I just want the Borg. Because there's such good bad guys. Anyway.
Yeah, I get you.
A skeletal lock, huh? We'll have to add that one to the transporter manual.
Captain, the bioship is powering up.
Like oh, weapon!
Looks like a penis.
Everything looks like a penis.
Mr. Paris, get us out of here. Maximum.
Does it shoot them or just the ship?
No!
They survive.
You didn't work fast enough, Tom.
Do your job, Tom! Pew! I love this show.
The alien ship is not pursuing.
So much. Bum, 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 bum.
High stakes. They should have had a character die.
Maybe they were thinking of it. Maybe thinking Harry was going to die. Did we get that? Do you want to say that again?
I'm sure we got it.
Yeah, okay.
We do have to say it again.
Infusing every system in his body.
It looks like he's being transformed in some way.
Yeah, maybe that was the plan. Because it was between him and Cass. Maybe they were going to kill him off.
That makes sense, yeah.
Should have died.
Maybe they didn't give him part two yet until...
They should have killed them both off. We don't need them. Get rid of both of them.
Take Chakotay while you're at it.
Take them all out. Tom, go on as well.
I want a Starfleet crew of all women. And Tuva.
Strange New Worlds. There's only three guys.
Is it? These are alien cells. Women are smarter.
All of the men are hot. I don't like one of them.
That's all they need to be.
There's only three of them. And
it's the most densely coated life form I've ever seen. As you know, I've been analyzing the nanoprobes.
Have you noticed how big his ears are? Efficient little assimilators. One can't help but doctor's ears are huge.
But they're no match for the alien cells. I reprogrammed the probe to emit the same electrical sensors as the aliens.
Look at her tiny little ears.
I know.
The probe can do its work without being detected.
They're like satellite dishes.
Wow. The alien cells...
No, you watch the rest of the show.
I'm just going to see people's ears. Not able to think about it, yeah.
The lighting is weird as well. I don't know if that's intentional.
In what way?
Like, he was really dark and she was
yeah.
behind him and brighter.
Light is hearing. That's an order.
Single tear? Yeah.
I
would have been crushed years. If he died.
Yeah, okay.
It would have been really powerful if they'd killed him off.
Over the past 5 months, the Borg have been attacked by them on at least a dozen occasions. Some kind of parallel universe?
I don't know.
she said this. She's like, fuck off.
No. Fuck off, Chakotay.
An invasion.
No, it's not.
Destroying everything. Tom, reverse course maximum warp. Take us 5 light years out and hold position.
Aye,
Captain. Maintain red alert.
I do like how they don't use Tom in this.
Yeah.
We have too much to go on. I don't have time to feed your fucking ego, Tom Paris.
Yeah. It's not about you right now. Not like it ever should be.
That moment we spoke.
The stars are going the wrong way.
They're not going backwards.
But like, the ship is facing a different direction. That's not the front of the ship, so it looks like it's going that way.
How do you know it's not the front of the ship?
Because the front of the ship is the bridge that faces the front.
Yeah.
And she goes off to the side.
So they should be going...
So, like, you can see... So the door to the bridge is there,
mm-hmm.
and it goes this way. So that's the front. And this is the side.
Yeah, but when you're going at warp speed, you're not actually seeing the stars moving. It's the light coming from this...
Okay.
Whatever.
Space!
maybe. I don't know.
All right, should we check in and tell them what we're seeing so far? What's happened so far?
I've lost track of what we said. Okay, so...
So Harry's been affected. He's dying. The doctor is analyzing the DNA. He's like, shit, they've got lots of DNA.
Yeah.
He thinks, right, I can actually... The Borg can't assimilate it because it's got too much DNA and whatever. But maybe I can modify
the nanoprobes.
Yeah. To actually attack it. Hopefully I can do it enough time to make enough to cure Harry.
To save Harry.
Because Harry's going to die. Which may have been the original plan because they weren't sure if they were going to kill him off or get rid of Cass. I think that would have been a really dramatic way to end it.
Yeah.
Like stakes.
Fucking stakes. A stakes death. It's not over dramatic.
No,
like some deaths
it's
are.
Like,
and it's not throwaway like what's her face in the first season of Next Generation.
Tasha,
yeah. Like, so I get the point, but it was just a bit throwaway.
Yeah, anyway, way too throwaway.
So, like, if he was hit in the line of duty and they tried to save him and they failed.
Their big budget season 3 finale would have been a good way to get rid of him. But anyway, they're going on. They found the Northwest Passage. It's full of this alien
species. Yeah.
Coming from another dimension. Kes is psychically connected
coming
to them.
Coming through a wormhole. We don't know if it's another dimension.
He said, oh, no, because if we keep that in, Chakotay says, another dimension. And Kes says,
I don't know.
Fuck off, Chakotay.
I don't know.
Like, I'm just psychically linked to them. I don't fucking know, Chakotay.
I'm psychic, not a physicist.
Go talk to your fucking spirit animal and fucking find out. So they know it's an invasion. It seems like this is an alien invasion, blah, blah, blah.
And
they're
learning more.
We don't know any more than that. Chakotay and Janeway have gone to the ready room to dramatically stare at each other and talk this out.
Again, yeah. Okay. Yeah, good.
You haven't slept in
2 days. She just called Catherine.
Yeah, he's done that before. He's allowed to.
All right, okay.
From the episode I talked about.
Yeah, from the beach.
She's like, you can call me Catherine. We're done here.
Fine.
Because that would be, like, yeah. I think after this, they don't really bother, like, developing the Janeway-Chakotay relationship. But this is a huge part of it, and it is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a cunt.
I don't hate him as much as you do, but I love the... I love the fervor.
Janeway's had an idea. Oh, she's going to see...
She's going to talk with Leonardo da Vinci, yeah, because why not?
Nice.
What would be your, like, holodeck program?
Sex.
No, I was... After you're bored of having sex with Chris Evans.
You mean my Chris Hemsworth. My intellectual...
Evans.
You can have him, yeah.
Yeah, after we're completely raw, and you're like, I just want to chill out. Like, if you're like, I need to clear my head.
I need to chill out.
I don't need to get rammed by Chris Evans this evening. I just want to, like, have a thought and chat with something. Like, yeah, anything possible. Any kind, yeah.
Holodeck space.
Yeah. I'd probably do Janeway, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'd be on Janeway's... Chip and chat with her. It's like, talk that out. That's fun.
I mean, philosophy sounds cool. Maybe like some kind of philosopher. I don't know.
I'd want someone really like wise and comforting. So like a Janeway kind of figure. Someone who is really Oprah-esque. Kind of, you know, like authoritarian, intelligent, badass. But with a...
Like therapeutic.
I'm not going to be a bitch
well.
To you. Yeah, someone who has a calming niceness. But I want... A really intelligent, super kind of thing. I'd probably end up with Janeway.
Can I pick a fictional character?
Of course, she does. Well, no, he's not fictional. I'm sorry, but you know,
They like do. Probably do something like Professor X kind of
character. Yes, great. Yeah. I picked Janeway.
Perfect. Good.
That's great.
Let's go with that then.
Yay! Sticking to our tropes. Sticking on brand. Yeah. Fucking hell. We're not very original.
Whatever.
Patrick Stewart or... Or cartoon.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Like the 90s cartoon. Crucifix in the background, yeah.
It's Leonardo da Vinci. Of course it is.
I suppose. He was Italian. Like, hey, we will make the abbot
visit the chapel. So, she's chatting to Leonardo da Vinci on the holiday to try and get inspiration or some idea, some sort of thing to kind of work it out in her head. She's like, oh, there's an enemies either side. If I turn around, there's no hope. If I go ahead, then oh, it's just certain destruction, blah, blah, blah. I like the fact, super Star Trek-y, he's, because obviously it's pretend Leonardo da Vinci, he's like, sometimes you need to escape to a higher power, I'll go and pray, come, let's go wake the abbots, let's go pray. She's like, nah.
Does she actually, like, did we get to that point yet?
Like, sorry, spoiler, but like, in the most magnanimous, like, caring way, she's like, no, that's not going to help me, because religion is stupid.
I'm not going to talk to
God. I'm not going to do that, because that's ridiculous. She kind of hand waves. It's like, no.
No.
Ooh, and then looks at candles. Saves the day.
Candles, that's the answer.
Better than God.
Candles. Kind of the same thing.
It's more realistic. I don't think that's going to work for me. Bye. Love it. I have no place for this. I'm not humoring you. What is she looking at, though?
There is an alternative I hadn't considered. Candles, shadows on the wall.
What if I made an appeal?
To the devil.
To the devil.
All right, so it's kind of an answer. It's like,
I guess it is the, yeah, she's answering it in her own way.
She's thinking of religion, God, and then she thinks devil.
Exchange.
So she's had the idea.
We're in the ready room.
No, the conference briefing comments were over. She's had the idea. Let's partner up with the Borg. We can work with them. We, you know, they can't figure things out because they can't assimilate stuff. We can figure it out because we investigate, we analyze that sort of stuff. We could give them a weapon. Maybe they could give us transport with this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the deal is safe passage.
Great plot point because obviously contention. Everyone's like, Borg? You can't trust the Borg. But it's also such a perfect reflection of Captain Janeway and the situation, unique situation of Voyager. Like, Picard, DS9, anything would never compromise or think in this kind of way or bend the rules in this kind of way. But she will, because she fucking has to.
Yeah.
It's such a good kind of encapsulation of her character and her sort of thing. Pushing the boundaries of what is acceptable.
Yeah.
We eventually find out, whatever. But
don't say anything.
Picard would never consider it.
No.
Kirk would never. Fuck. Can you imagine Kirk trying to fucking deal with this? Yeah. He is so monotone and had no nuance.
We can blast our way through it.
And then have sex with a green woman. So it's just, yeah, I think it's just really a really defining kind of characteristic trait of her and the whole situation and the show and the shit and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's that- shit. But it's something maybe that, it'll work.
It might, maybe it'll work. Because basically what she said in the last scene was like, there's a third possibility that I hadn't considered.
Yeah, it's and that, there's not oh, right there's not right or there's not left or right or wrong, back or forward. It's like, there's the shit option.
Yeah, there's something that she, only she would be able to come up with that as well.
Yes!
Compared to Picard, Kirk,
exactly. Her way, yeah. Fucking yeah, Janeway. What makes you think the Borg will attempt to take... It doesn't work, but whatever.
Don't say that!
Because that won't get them anywhere. Doctor.
They still would.
It wouldn't get them anywhere. They'd have some extra humans. Big fucking work. That's infinitesimal in their thing. It means nothing to the Borg. That's bullshit. With the promise
the of... The same way you use, like, swat a fly.
It means nothing but the promise of an answer. It's like, swat a fly or, like, get £1 million. It's...
But what if that fly gave you $1 million?
Yeah, exactly. Voyager is only one ship. Our safe passage is a small... Nothing to them. Exchange. They could have transwarped them there.
Do you think that? Like all Tom's first lines, like, yes, ma'am, yes, Captain.
I love it. He does not do anything in these two episodes. That's why I like it so much. But then there's this asshole. You are awfully quiet. There's a story I heard as a child.
Oh, the such a story I heard as a child.
Wait, here we go.
Oh, is this the scorpion story?
Yes,
there's
of course.
There's a story I heard as a child.
Oh.
Every time I call you, I'll be like, this is a story I heard as a child.
What's up? Yeah, there's a story I heard as a child.
What do you want our next episode to be?
There's a story my grandfather told me in a dream.
A passed down from my ancestors.
From the sacred lands of my ancestors, there's a story. So, Chakotay didn't say anything, and now he's going to chime in with a bullshit story. Mm. Here we go. Should we include this sound clip?
Not anymore, you paused it.
No, but should we rewind it and like put that whole clip in? It's the name of the episodes. What do you think?
What do you mean? This
him telling the story? Should we like
turn no, the microphone no, because no one's gonna listen to it. Like it's in the background.
Like it's the story.
We'll tell the story. It'll be better.
Okay, tell the story.
There was a scorpion that came.
Wait, let's listen to it. Hang on, okay. Right, tell the story. John's gonna do a retelling of Chakotay's dramatic. Native American story, which is the premise for this whole show. Go. A story your grandfather told you.
This is a story my grandfather told me, passed down many generations, about a scorpion that came to a river and had no way to cross it.
Yep.
So it came across a fox who was trying to cross it as well. And he went to the fox and he said, "Help me across." And the fox said, "No, you're a scorpion. You'll just sting me." The fox said, And the scorpion said, "If I sting you, then I'll drown too." So the fox thought about it for a while, and then he agreed. And as the fox, he let the scorpion climb on his back and started swimming. Halfway through the river, the scorpion stung the fox. There is a dramatic pause when he does it as well.
Sorry.
Stung the fox. And as the poison filled his veins, the fox said, "Why did you do that? Now we'll both drown." And the scorpion said, "I couldn't help it. Haters gonna hate."
No, he didn't say that. You did so well.
What did he say? "It's in my nature."
That was so good. I'm so glad we did your version rather than Chakotay's. "It's in my nature.
It's in my nature." It's the way he delivers it as well. The close up. "It's in my nature."
Perfect. She ain't having none of it, though.
She's like,
shut the fuck.
Like what you said to Leonardo da Vinci, "That's not going to work for me."
Yeah, that's not going to work for me. Leonardo, Chakotay, that's not going to work for me. Like, guys, shut up. Oh, my God.
It's always them men putting them women down. That story would work, except in this situation, it's the scorpion. Wait. It's the fox is going to give the
fox. They're the fox.
Yeah, they're the fox and the scorpion is the Borg. The Borg is the scorpion. So the difference is the fox has something that the scorpion wants. Wait, right?
Yeah, which is the same.
Wait.
That works. The fox will take them across.
Yeah.
And they have technology that could defeat 8472. So have something that the scorpion wants.
And if the scorpion does sting them,
yeah,
then all the scorpion's friends and family die as well.
What?
That's the
allegory. If the scorpion stings them, it kills them too. So if they
the scorpion, but every other scorpion as well, because Borg will continue to lose against the species of 8472.
That's the difference, though.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So that's why the parable doesn't exactly work, because it's not quite the same situation.
It's not the whole... Yeah, it's just...
So if the... Yeah, the fox has something. Yeah, the fox has
the yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it's not just. Yeah, that's true.
It's not just the one scorpion.
But it's like thinking of the entire Borg collective is the scorpion.
And if the Borg are anything, they're all about.
But that's unity. True. That's true. Because, like, if they absorb these, you know, assimilate them, they're all going to die.
Yeah.
Which is.
Yeah.
It is the same thing. It is the same thing.
What do you mean?
As this scorpion story. Yeah.
Yeah. But the river, if the river is the 8472, then the river is going to continue to, like, it's not just the scorpion that can't get across, it's the scorpion will drown regardless, unless the fox helps it.
Again, that still works. That works
for and other and all the other scorpions as well. Get out of my room.
Dismiss.
So we've just had a contention between Janeway and Chakotay.
I hate myself. I think Chakotay's right.
I think it'd be for finding Chakotay hot.
No! Saggy old man. No, he is right. Again, in part two, we find out, yes, he is right, because Borgs suck balls. But everything he says is true. She is blinded by her desire to get them home. It's like, he knows this is wrong. You can't give this weapon to the Borg. We suspect that 8472 are bad. We know.
You know the Borg are evil.
Are unconscionably evil. Mm-hmm. You can't give them a leg up. And yes, how many in the seasons we've seen so far? How many fucking wormholes and transwarps and all sorts of things? What if they fight and eradicate each other and they're gone, and in 6 months, a year, it's empty?
Yeah, she comes back with a lot of what ifs, but those what, I mean, those are just...
It's just ambition to like, no, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I get it. It's like, we miss the opportunity and that sort of bit. I understand that Chakotay is right. Oh, I feel sick.
We've got it on record now. We've got it recorded.
I know. It's on record. But...
Thank you.
But it's a but it is a lovely moment where she's like, I made my decision. Do I have your support? He's like, I'll do it, but I think you're wrong. Like a fucking petulant child that he is. A fucking brat. Yeah. She's like, so everything you said, yeah. He said yesterday, you said to me on that planet that you would be by my side,
yeah,
is bullshit. So I am alone.
He's got a two-face, isn't he?
Get out. He's a flake. He's bullshit.
I will follow you to the ends until I decide.
Until I change my mind.
Until I think that you're wrong, yeah.
Until I think you're wrong. I will go along with you as long as I agree with you. Fucking incel.
What a man.
And she's just alone. And she's just like, dismissed. Get out. That's it. You are not the first officer. You're not the man I fucking thought you were.
Yeah.
And yes, I agree with his decision. But you said you were there for her. And you are not. You have to trust her. She's smarter than you. It's you thinking you know more than her.
That's true, yeah.
You think you're right and she's wrong. You don't trust her intelligence, her leadership, her judgment. And she's like, then what the fuck is this all about?
Yeah. What's all this hot air?
It's just not. You don't. Yeah, you don't trust me as a captain. You don't. You think you know better than me.
You just blow the air.
Which is true because, you know, spoiler, next episode, he completely turns his back on her and just does whatever he fucking wants. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, carrying on. 4 minutes, 57 seconds left.
Not including trailer.
There's no trailers. Credits. There's no ads. Oh, credits. Menacing music!
There are three planets in the system.
All Borg.
All Borg.
You have 10 seconds to comply.
That's throwing it down.
Damn fucking straight.
We know you're in danger of being defeated. You can't afford to risk losing this information. Disengage your
friends. But she also adds more.
That was fucking ballsy.
Fucking ballsy. She's like, you got 10 fucking seconds. But she's also like, we know you're fucked. Like, yeah. She doesn't just be like, you need to do what I say.
Yeah.
She's like, guys, you know. Fucking think about it.
Still trying to, like, negotiate.
Fucking baller move. We're gonna delete it.
Like, here's a snippet of the information, and if you don't, you know, I mean, to be fair, the situation needs that kind of ballsiness as well.
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna destroy this information unless you stop and listen to us.
Listen to us. They do. Yeah. They transport her. Sorry, yeah, that's a Borg vessel that's got them.
Yeah.
And then now they've transported Janeway aboard.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Let's wrap this up.
Search your plans.
Safe passage through your
space. She does like a lean.
She does love.
She
a
finds
lean,
a surface to lean on. So she's just in a random Borg corridor and she's finding a spot to like lean and perch over.
She likes a lean.
Likes a lean. Good
for
you.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Effect.
Beyond Borg territory, I'll give you our research. If you escort it.
So. The last few seconds, minutes of this episode, she has been transported aboard the Borg cube, talking to the disembodied voice of the collective, stating the terms, like, no, give us the information now. She's like, no. Get us through space. even if we give you it now, we need time to develop it. Let's use our resources, work together. And they actually stop, pause, think about it, and like go, what are your terms?
What are your terms, yeah.
So yeah,
fuck what's that. Your proposal?
Exactly. Here we go. And
through your space, we can perfect the weapons.
Can you get a look on the captain?
No.
Not yet. Commander, there are 9 more bioships coming out of the singularity.
Here we go.
This is so cool.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's so cool. Ooh, a super beam.
That's so cool. Oh, they blow up a whole fucking planet! Or a moon. I forgot they fucking do that. Dramatic act. Dramatic act.
Yeah.
Kate,
there's a reason for that lean. To be continued.
Boom, 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 boom.
What a great thing.
So
what's just happened?
Mid-sentence. Ships appear. They shoot the cubes. What is it? 9 vessels from the species 8472 show up. They Voltron style, like joint, like shoot into each other and make a one unified mega beam.
One super beam that hits one of the planets,
a planet or a moon, and just obliterate it. And the explosion of that like blasts into the cube and sends the whole fleet and Voyager. Yeah.
Other cubes are destroyed. Meanwhile,
like fucking ripped to pieces.
The Voyager is still in a tractor beam.
Yeah, they're still just tagged along for it. To be continued. And that is the end of season 3 of Star Trek Voyager.
Could you imagine watching that and be like, what?
And having to wait. Because I got it on like a part 1, part 2 video. So you put the next one in and off you go. Having to wait from May to September. You would have lost your fucking mind.
I mean, that's what we did back in the day.
I miss that. I miss episodic television that way.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones style.
Lost, that was.
All of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of season 3, Star Trek Voyager, Scorpion.
Yeah.
Part 1. So that is the pre-7 of 9 Star Trek years. Over.
The first of the most rewatched Star Trek episode.
This, I think part 1 is the most rewatched episode. I would have thought part 2, but you know, you probably watch part 1.
You
have to watch part 1 before you watch part 2. Ever. And the setup for the introduction of 7 of 9 and how it changes. It does. She's amazing. It changes the whole show completely.
Yes, in many ways.
So season 4 is completely different. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's a wrap up to halfway season 1, 2, 3 of Star Trek Voyager. We sure as shit will do another part, but you have to finish it.
I do have to finish
it. And I bet you I'll finish it before you do.
Well, but then also the finale of the entire show, which I have not seen. Is that what you mean?
Because I'm going to carry on and watch it and... Fine. You've rewatched it. By the time we get there,
I'm going to have to rewatch it now.
I know, right?
Because I kind of want to. But no, I need to pick up. I'm in midway through season 5, so I'm going to have to go through 2. So eventually.
Anyway,
We'll get to the end of Star Trek Voyager, watch the finale, which I have not seen, don't really know what happens. Is it a two-parter as well?
Probably.
It's like a longer one.
It'll be a longer one. It can't be one single episode. Yeah.
Right, okay. So that's upcoming. If you want us to do any other episode that you really like,
rewatch. I can't think of the final episode, and this are the most pivotal Star Trek Voyager episodes. But if you want us to watch, hey, let's rewatch Threshold if you want. If enough people say it, I'll make John rewatch it.
I
don't mind. It's fine.
Or any other show that we haven't watched. It doesn't have to be a rewatch. It could just be like a watch, and you know, if there's enough. If we hear enough stuff about it, let us know. How can they get in touch with us, Nick?
They can get in touch with us via email. You can email us incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on the socials on TikTok and Instagram @incompletegeeks.
Give us a like, share it with your friends, like our stuff.
Give us a rating.
We love hearing from you.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, good, good, good.
Thanks for listening to all our Star Trek Voyager rants. We didn't get anything wrong with this episode. We were perfect.
No, absolutely everything was great.
So we are not...
Usually. Yeah.
We're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
And this time we were great.
We were great this time.
Bye!
The friend of an elf. Sorry.